Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You have 11 chances to win each day. I'll give you the first one, and you text that word to 72881. It's going to be a nice day today, highs of 71. Then we turn warm for Tuesday and Wednesday, highs in the lower 80s, 40% chance for showers Tuesday, 60% on Wednesday. Then for the Easter weekend, spectacular. Highs Thursday and Friday, 63. Saturday and Sunday, 69, 73 on Easter Sunday. Plenty of sun, no mention of rain, so we lucked out and get out and enjoy it. Joshua Dar joins us now, Assistant Professor of Political Communication at LSU. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you.
I was looking at a CNN article the day after the president's first press conference, and they fact-checked him, and they found that a couple of the things he said, a lot of them actually, were not true, demonstrably false, etc. And I've heard people from the right say, well, they're just doing that to appear to be hard on Biden, when, I mean, they checked the facts and said that he was stretching the truth or lying or demonstrably false. So does that go to people living in their bubbles where no matter what their perceived enemy does, it doesn't matter? They're dead set on what they think and that's it?
Well, I think, you know, if they fact checked him and it and some things didn't add up, then I would say they were being hard on Biden.
But you know what I'm saying, Professor? There are people on the right that'll say, yeah, they're just trying to make it look like they're being tough on him. That's all. When in fact, they're kind of doing the job they're supposed to do.
No, that's very true. And it's certainly possible to have things distorted like that or to see the world in those lenses. And they're, you know, they are used to very aggressive fact checks of President Trump. And so probably easy to interpret everything through that lens. When you're only talking to people that think like you, and when you're listening to news outlets that that tell you that you're correct and that other news outlets are incorrect, then that's absolutely something that can lead to that worldview.
I knew you were coming on today, so yesterday when I was on that stair machine, anything to distract me, anything in the world, Professor, to distract me, I was thinking about, with the barrage of social media and messages, and the last count I had was like 4,800 messages a day that we're exposed to. It's probably a lot higher than that now because that was a couple of years ago. Do we have time to sit down and think? Is that part of the problem when it comes to this, that we don't have time to sit down and just go somewhere where it's quiet, look at the issues, and decide what we really think is right or wrong or fair or compromise or what have you?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think that the ability not only to have news come to you through a news feed and sort of be exposed to it when you're just trying to see what your friends are doing has changed the way we consume news. It's a far cry from listening to a radio station, you know, when you're not doing anything else, or sitting down with a morning newspaper and reading about sports and weather and culture, and then also getting political news. You can just link and link and link between news stories about politics, and pretty soon you've fallen down a rabbit hole and don't realize it. So the way we've changed news, just the literal technology of it, has changed the way that we get our information and the way we see politics.
We don't even want to hear anything else, do we? We and again, I guess I got to go back to not thinking for ourselves, where it's a lot easier to go with a simple solution to a complex problem, so long as it attaches or aligns with something we believe underneath to begin with. I guess there's got to be an initial feeling, and then you find what it is that matches that initial gut feeling that you have. For example, let me give you an example. When it comes to welfare, there are some people who think, well, anybody that gets welfare is lazy. They have a chance in this country to work, and if they don't, well, then they're lazy. We shouldn't do that, or else there's no incentive to work. When, in fact, a lot of people who receive welfare are working. They're just working poor, and they don't make enough to survive. That's an example of, I guess, to me, people that are not willing to go maybe even to just the second layer of the story to see what's going on here.
Yeah, we have some misconceptions, and those can be determined by our ideology and just reinforced by our news consumption. You know, we have both confirmation bias, where we uncritically accept things that agree with us, but we also have disconfirmation bias, where we want to counter-argue things that go against what we believe. So both of those processes, even though they're about things that we agree with and things that we disagree with, reinforce what we already believe. And so it's hard to get people to change their minds or be open to new information.
Yeah, and because I think the first thing now they do is, you know, President Trump, I guess, started really with the fake news. Was it him?
Well, there was sort of a, you know, there were some of these literally false news sites popping up in Macedonia and some of these countries that were just trying to make money off clicks. And those started to be called fake news, and I think Trump did like the term, and he adopted it and applied it to everybody except Fox.
And now people, I think, have taken it to mean whatever they don't like or whatever they don't think is true or don't want to be true, then they just call it fake news.
That is true, yeah. And the people that study it do not like to use that term because it's become so loaded politically. But yeah, misinformation and disinformation tend to be more what it's called.
Easiest thing in the world. Do I have to think about it? Nope. Call it fake news. Doesn't agree with what I thought. Do I want to investigate to see if I was wrong? Nope. Fake news. Let's keep moving.
Right. 650, disconfirmation we'll bias.
Yep. We'll take a break and come back, pick it up here. 6:50, 10 till 8. Another 10 till 7. Another question is, it seems like somewhere along the line we got to all Republicans and all Democrats have to think exactly the same, or if not, then you're either a rhino or whatever the Democratic equivalent of that is. 651, 9 before 7, traffic now, WWL. 654, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Just a couple of minutes left with Joshua Dar, assistant professor of political communication at LSU. Professor, has the tolerance for different opinions now even disappeared as it relates to being in the same party, where now the parties are picking each other apart with, unless you believe exactly as I do, then you're wrong?
So this is something parties usually have to figure out for themselves. How much dissension are they willing to put up with? And, you know, are you trying to make your party like a McDonald's, where you can walk into any restaurant around the country and get basically the same burger, right? Where are they going to be able to benefit from the, you know, Southern Democrats talk one way, Northern Democrats talk another way. And, you know, when we're in a nationalized media environment, where national media can report on people that don't talk the way that the rest of the party talks, that's a little bit different than if people are just relying on local media to learn about their local politicians. And they think, well, you know, that person is a Democrat, but they do care about this community and they do think and talk in similar ways that I do. And so I'll vote for them anyway, you know, that sort of thing. So I think that the nationalization of politics is making parties more internally consistent.
Is one side more tolerant than the other when it comes to dissension within the party, Republicans or Democrats?
It's hard to say. I think that at different times there's been more or less tolerance for that. There's been different coalitions that have made that up in that way. You know, I think both parties' national media are equally hard on members that are, you know, getting in the way of them accomplishing their goals, whether that's, you know, in a 50-50 Senate, whether that's Democrats, you know, voting with Republicans or Republicans crossing over to vote with Democrats, each individual decision matters a lot in a 50-50 Senate. So we're getting a lot of scrutiny on any decision to break with your party by any senator, at least in that particular hall of Congress at the moment.
Is the majority of the country in their different pod, bubble, line, herd, whatever you want to call it. And are there any people that are really independents?
I think so. You know, I think that there are people who switch between elections or who, you know, really don't like either party. I mean, that's the most common way somebody is an independent, is if they don't like the party system and they don't like either party. Now, research shows that if you're a registered independent, you are more likely than not to consistently vote with one of the parties. But that's not to say that there aren't swing voters. Certainly, campaigns spend millions and millions of dollars on the idea that there are and that they can reach them and that they can persuade them.
But is it true?
There's not a lot of them. But again, it's a very closely divided country. So there's enough to switch presidential elections. There's enough to decide very close Senate elections. And so are there a lot? Maybe not. But are there enough that they're extremely important and that and those people are real? Then, you know, I say yes.
In terms of conservatives and liberals, is Fox still considered a conservative outlet? Because I know people that are really conservative, and they think for some reason Fox News has now become a liberal. I laugh when I say it, a liberal news organization.
Yeah, that doesn't quite compute. I think it's no longer the most conservative outlet, if that makes more sense. I think that some people, you know, this is capitalist market competition. People saw economic opening to the right of Fox, and they took it. That's not to say Fox is not still right of center, but it is left of some of these newer outlets. And so maybe if you're way over there looking back, it looks like it's to the left, but no reasonable definition would put it there.
What do you think is the most central?
The most
centered, I should
media?
Say.
Yeah, that's hard to say. I mean, the whole thing is a spectrum. I think that people in general discount journalists' commitment to objectivity. And, you know, we have to separate journalism from opinion at some of these news organizations, like Primetime Fox and versus Fox Reporting, or Primetime MSNBC versus NBC News Reporters. Mm-hmm. There are some real differences in how these people do their jobs and in the content that they promote. And so, you know, unfortunately, I'm a professor, so I'm going to say it's more complicated than that. But
no, it is. Because especially when you see the same people, one person on MSNBC is serving as a reporter slash person giving commentary on what's going on, and then they'll appear on NBC, the big network, and then they're supposed to be a reporter with no opinions, and that's, I guess, that leads to a lot of it. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Joshua Darr, Assistant Professor of Political Communication at LSU.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.